I give thanks to God for this wonderful gathering here this morning to honor a man who gave 62 years to this diocese and to this church and many years to Thomas More Parish. I'm grateful for the presence of so many priests who were his brothers in the fraternity of the diocesan priesthood, for the Knights of Columbus, who in this parish particularly were such a part of his life. I can remember in the 3 years I've been here, only once did he miss a meeting. And the choir from the local parish and from other places as well, seminarians, and the parishioners of St. Thomas More, this is an opportunity we have to give thanks to God for this priest. Tomorrow we celebrate the feast of St. John Vianney, who was a priest. And he was a priest not particularly known for his intellectual acumen. He struggled in seminary with his studies, but he was such a deeply human man that he connected with people, and people stood in line for hours to go to confession to that priest. Father Wirth didn't have a degree. Back in the days when he was in seminary, seminaries didn't give degrees. They weren't accredited institutions. And so when he was retired here and was on staff, Father Long was the pastor, and he liked to put the degrees behind everybody's name in the bulletin. And so it would be so-and-so PhD, so-and-so MA, Father Wirth. And actually, he was kind of hurt by that. But he made a joke out of it, and he said, I'm thinking of getting my GED, so I'll have some initial. You know, it isn't what you know when you are ordained that matters. It's what you do after that. He continued to read. He was faithful to going to continuing education and to retreats and listening to tapes. And he kept himself up on theology and the church. And he used to love to talk about those things. One of his favorite theological sparring partners was John Carlin. And they would go to dinner and have drinks and talk about theology. And that was a hardship when John died, because he missed that. And in some ways, maybe I took the place of John, because he would call me up and say, let's go to dinner, I want to talk about something. And so it would be something that he had read, a book or an article, and he wanted to talk about it. He just liked to dialogue about that stuff. Most recently, I remember that he was, the last two times he called and wanted to talk, it was about the decreasing numbers in the church. You know, people unchurched, the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that bothered him deeply, and he wanted to talk about, you know, what did we do wrong that caused this, and what can we do now to help the situation? And I don't know that we came up with any answers, but we talked a lot anyway. He was always thinking. About a year ago, we dedicated the new chapel at Via Christi Hospital down the street here. And so there were a number of priests there and the bishop. And so they threw a kind of a luncheon for all of the guests in one of the banquet rooms in the hospital. And so Bishop Weisenberger was waxing as usual. And he kind of wanted to include Father Wirth. So he said, Father Wirth, what do you think about that? And Wirth said, I'm retired. I don't think anymore. But that wasn't true, was it? He was thinking right up to the end. And that's a good thing. You know, that gospel, the my favorite line from that gospel is, were not our hearts burning within us as he explained the scriptures to us? I think that Father Lauren's heart was burning for his whole life. His soul was burned by the scriptural truth, the scriptural word. It was just in him. He loved to preach, and he worked hard at it. He took it very seriously, spent a lot of time in preparation. But I think one of the ways that people just connected with him was that he loved the truth, loved the word, loved Christ, and it was just so burned into him that it just came out without necessarily having to explicitly say it. Some things you can just connect with without words. And like St. John Vianney, there is a deep humanness there that just was more about street smarts. You know, it was about earthy wisdom combined with intellectual acumen in his case as well. But what really helped people connect, I think, was his humanness. This was one of the scandals of Jesus. They were scandalized by his humanness. Isn't he just the carpenter's son? Didn't he come from the lower classes? Isn't he just one of us? How could he be the Messiah? And they were offended by him. Jesus showed in a human body what it looks like to be divine. And I think, isn't that all of our calling? Isn't that our baptismal call, to join ourselves so powerfully to Christ that the humanity and divinity that showed in his body would show in ours as well? And isn't that the duty of a priest above all, to shine that forth, to witness to that in our bodies, in our lifestyle, in our preaching, in our ministry, in the way we hear confessions, and the way we anoint the sick, and the way we go out to dinner with people? We all get old, or most of us, if we're lucky. And Father Wirth was struggling with all kinds of health issues, as many of you know. The one that bothered him the most was his eyesight. He just obsessed about that constantly, the fact that he couldn't see, that he was afraid that he wasn't going to be able to drive. And it even inhibited him saying Mass. About 6 months ago, he finally said to me, I can't say Mass in the parish anymore because I can't see the missal. And I can't read the gospel because I can't see it. And then about a month ago, he stopped even coming up into the sanctuary. On Saturday nights, he would concelebrate, but he would do it from right down there because he couldn't even manage the stairs anymore. But he was still here just last Saturday night, holding court in the gathering space afterwards. St. Paul reminds the Romans in that second reading that all of creation is groaning, longing deeply for the salvation, for the redemption of the physical universe. But Paul says, even each of us personally, in our own bodies, we are groaning in agony, expecting and waiting in hope for that redemption. I think Father Wirth was filled with hope. Not hope that he was going to recover from his illnesses. It had moved beyond that. It was hope in what happens next. It was hope in the redemption of his body forever. Not just for the next year or two, but forever. And that's a good sign for all of us. You know, our hope isn't that we would live a good life necessarily in this world, that we would be successful, that we would be admired, that we would, you know. Actually, those things don't matter, do they? What matters is our relationship to God that is eternal. And so our lives, filled with the first fruits, which is the Holy Spirit that was breathed into us at our baptism and is active in us even when we're not paying attention, even when we fight against it, our bodies, our souls, our person is gradually, imperceptibly being transformed into the image of the Son. We are being joined more and more powerfully to Christ, with whom we will share life forever.